कोशोऽसि मेधया पिहितः श्रुतं मे गोपाय. So you all remember, I'm sure, we are doing the fourth anuvakaha, and which consists of mantras for praying, prayer mantras. And of the prayer mantras we have in this anuvaka, the first prayer mantra, the first prayer mantra is meant for japaha repetition. It's for vachikam karma. It becomes a discipline. It also prayer, isn't it? And here we pray for what? We pray for grahana dharana shaktihi, the capacity to retain, the understand and to retain what we have understood, so that we can assimilate it. See, assimilation of the teaching is possible only if you retain the teaching. Retention is possible only if you understand it. Therefore, what you need now? You need a sharp intellect that you can grasp correctly and retain what you have understood also. That's what you're asking for, Medha Shaktihi. So the next thing is what? May I be blessed with that power, capacity, good power of intellection. O Lord, please bless me with good power of intellection. Thereby I can understand and retain this teaching. And may I be the one who is endowed with the knowledge of the self, which will bless me with the knowledge of the immortality, which itself is an attainment of immortality. Amrutasya devadharano bhuyasam. Amrutasya devadharano bhuyasam. So, you can repeatedly ask. Medhaya asprunoto amrutasya devadharano bhuyasam. What is the literal meaning of the sentence? O Lord, may I be the possessor of knowledge. How can I become the possessor of knowledge? See, when somebody, a professor comes as a physicist, and we call him a physicist, and he can just open his mouth and talk on different subject matter of physics, topics associated with the physics, subject matter of physics. And my God, you will all be surprised. How is it possible for the professor to talk any topic? He just takes any one topic of physics and he can just talk and talk and talk. He doesn't need to refer it to any book. It means what? All the knowledge in the book has gone to his head. He's not simply memorized. He has understood the subject matter. He has retained the subject matter. Now who is he? He is one who has got the possessor of knowledge. Understand? Now he is physics jnana dharanaha. Chemistry professors, chemistry dharana jnana dharanaha. As a student, all the doctors must have found it difficult. But once they've studied and as practicing also, nowadays they know, just seeing the symptoms they can make out certain things, and they know how to diagnose and how to send them for different treatments also. That means what? Particular jnanam. You become the possessor of that given knowledge. It's a kind of many years one has to spend to become the possessor of knowledge. So may I be blessed with the self-knowledge. So amrutasya devadharano bhuyasam. So bhuyasam means what? May I become the one who is endowed with self-knowledge. Thereafter, first you ask for what now? Protection of your intellect. How can the intellect be protected? If the intellect is sharp, if you have good power of intellection, then you have the capacity to absorb, understand the Shastram, to retain the Shastram, then you can have the assimilated vision of the Shastram. That is how you can protect your intellect. Okay? Then we go for what? We ask for protection of the body. Look at this now. Shariram me vicharshanam. Shariram me vicharshanam. Me shariram vicharshanam. Me shariram means my body. No, vicharshanam bhavato. You know what? May, O Lord, may my physical body be healthy. Healthy means what? May physical body be free from all forms of illnesses and diseases. It is very important for one to have the physical body, because without physical health, nothing can be accomplished. However highly intelligent you are, without the good physical health, what can you achieve? So physical health is very important. See, it's a very important for a Vedantic student means the Shastra, we never ignore the physical body. Physical body is very important, but we don't see taking care of the physical body and giving attention to physical body in terms of looking after the health is very important. But for us, body itself does not become the ultimate. Understand? All the time worried about the skin, worried about the hair, worried about, the body, the weight, and worried about the, weight not in terms of health, okay? Worried about the, the looks, the figure, isn't it? It's all, that is not the way. Here, physical health is very important. Shariram me vicharshanam. Shariram me vicharshanam. Jihva me madhumattama. Jihva me madhumattama. The first line, you asked for protection of the mind and intellect. Second prayer, you asked for protection of the physical health, physical body, in terms of being blessed with good physical health. The third line, protection of your speech. Jihva me madhumattama. Jihva means tongue. O Lord, may my tongue be the sweetest tongue. Madhu means sweet. Madhuman means sweet. Madhumati also is what? Sweet. And madhumat sweet, madhumat tara sweeter, madhumat tama sweetest. How can the tongue become the sweetest tongue? Being the person of sweet words. If my words are always sweet, it's very important, it's a discipline. Vaktapas means discipline in terms of speech. As a spiritual student, the most important thing is, the tongue being taken care of. The tongue should be taken care of. Tongue means our speech should be taken care of. So, vaktapas. Vaktapas nave pechu olukkam. Pechil oru olukkam. How can we take care of this vaktapas? How can we really, madhumattama. Sweetest means what? Sweetest means sweet words means what? Talking nicely to people. So, how to understand, how to know, how can I make my words sweet words? What are the sweet words? How can I say I'm a person of very sweet words? I'm a person of sweet tongue. I'm a sweet-tongued person. Remember Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavan Krishna says there, anudvegakaram vakyam satna anudvegakaram priyam hitam satyam. Anudvegakaram priyam hitam satyam. These are the four factors to be followed in one's speech. To make one's words sweet, to maintain one's vaktapas. The whatever we speak must be anudvegakaram. Udvegakaram means hurting words. hurtful words. Udvegakaram, hurting speech. Anudvegakaram means words being not rude, not harsh, not hurtful. Whatever we speak should be unhurtful. No, it should not be, words should not sound, make us sound rude, harsh. Very important. However angry you are, however you are unhappy with the other person, but when you want to express your what you think, the word should not be rude, not be harsh, not be hurtful. It's very important. It's a very important spiritual sadhana. Because even however good you are in the heart, you are sometimes, most of the times, most of us are very, very good in the heart, really speaking. Very good at the heart, in the heart of the hearts. But we sometimes do not know how what to talk. Our speech really makes people feel very hurt, and it makes us, you know, you're not rude person, very, very pleasant person, but still your words sometimes they'll sound rude, sound harsh, you know. Therefore, speech, one has to take care of once. One speech must be anudvegakaram, okay, unhurtful. Then, anudvegakaram, priyam. When you speak also, it must be very pleasant. Words must be very, very pleasing words. Pleasing words means not to just to please the person, it should be pleasing, genuinely pleasing. What means what? Positively pleasing. Okay, very, very. Sometimes, but in the mind, no? Inside the mind, you are not really pleased. You are not pleased when you say. No, because you want to please the person. See, it's not pleasing words means not talking the pleasing words, not for the sake of pleasing the person. Genuinely, positively pleasant words. Understand what I'm saying? It's called priyam. Then hitam. Hitam. Hitam means what? Whatever you speak must be useful either for the other person, at least for yourself. That means we have to avoid all the, anything we speak, if it is not useful for anybody, then we have to drop it. This only way we can cut short all our unnecessary talks means we can save lot of energy. What once I open my mouth and talk means it is must be useful at least for somebody. What is the useful word again? It must be either helping a person to relieve something of the pain or some help. It must be contributing for mind's clarity, or it must be contributing for jnanam or something good, isn't it? So useful. So, avoiding all unnecessary talks, even useless talks or unnecessary talks. Useful talks are necessary talks, isn't it? So, avoiding unnecessary, useless speech, it becomes what now? That means we speak only whatever is useful for somebody or the other. Either for the listener or for the speaker or for the third person who is neither a speaker nor the listener. It's called hitam. Anudvegakaram, then priyam hitam. Okay, it can be anudvegakaram, priyam hitam, it should be satyam also. Just for the sake of pleasing other person, let me tell all lies. You know, all lies. Because I want to please the person, I don't want to make the person unhappy. That does not mean you should speak all the truths also. Whatever you speak should be the truth, but does not mean you should speak all the truths you know. Know that? Yeah, another problem. In Tamil, there's an expression, kalvi kautharadanna. Kalvi kautharadanna. I mean, you speak out everything. Why? Not necessary. You don't need to speak all the truths, but once you open your mouth and say something, it must be the truth. There should be any untruth in it. Sometimes some truths might cause some problems, then don't speak the truths also. But what you speak should not be a lie. Satyam, hitam, priyam, anudvega karam. These are the four things you have to remember in your speech in order to become a madhumattama, tongued person, a sweetest tongued person. So here, oh Lord, I want to be genuinely truthful in my speech. I want to be positively pleasant in my words. I want to really speak only useful things. I don't want to really speak useless things. And I really don't want to be harsh or rude. But still, I unknowingly, unhelplessly, I become, oh Lord, please bless me to have what? A sweet tongue. To be a person of sweet tongued. May I be the sweet tongued person. Please bless me. You seek, pray to Bhagavan. If you really cannot do it, jihva me madhumattama, pray. Repeatedly pray, because it's all very important for the mind to become settled, to be quiet, to be calm, to be able to get the shastram to go in like gulab jamun, and to become assimilated like in our, how it goes in, without any difficulty to ooze in gulab jamun. Not like murungakai. And it goes and gets stuck there. But no, drumstick. If you eat drumstick, it won't go easily, Gulab jamun, you put it, you don't need to be careful in gulab jamun. But when you are very careful with the what? Drumstick. So, because doctor doesn't have, that's why I'm saying this. So here, the gulab jamun just goes in very easily, there's no difficulty. And once it goes in also, all the calorie also gets absorbed. My God, sugar goes, fat goes, cholesterol goes, everything gets absorbed. And then it becomes what? Part of the body. Similarly, subject matter shastra also should go into my buddhi and become absorbed. Isn't it? Like that here also, for that such a mind, you need such an intellect and mind for which very important to be what now? The person of sweet words. So, jihva me madhumattama, karna abhyam, bhuri vishruvam. So, karna abhyam, bhuri vishruvam. Vishruvam means what? May I listen. How much should I, what should I listen to? May I listen to the subject matter of the shastram. Vishruvam means, listening means only the shastram. Okay, may I listen so much? What to listen to? May have the, oh Lord, I want to listen, but I may have lots of obstacles in attending the classes, being able to listen to the subject matter. Coming to the class also, I'm not able to listen sometimes. I hear the teacher speaking, but I don't listen to the subject matter because of some pratibandha, obstacles. So, vishruvam means, may I listen to the subject matter of the shastram. How much? Bhuri. As much as possible. See, one has to pray for the opportunity to listen to the shastram also. Bhagavan's grace is necessary even to be able to listen to the shastram. Not because I have some time, I'm going and coming. I have only one class a week. I should have more number of classes. I know I want to have more number of classes, but I'm not able to attend all the classes. So one has to really, somehow or the other, I should be able to listen to subject matter of the shastram as much as possible. I'm not able to at present now. So you have to seek Bhagavan's grace. If you know the value of listening to the subject matter of the shastram, value of studying the shastram, definitely you will do this prayer. Now, he says, bhuri vishruvam. Bhuri means what? Abundantly. how as let me listen as much as possible. Let me listen so much. We have the opportunity to listen to Shastram. Bhuri Vishram, how? Through my ears. So Lord, may I, that's why he not simply, you know, saying, Karna Abhyam Bhuri Vishruvam, Karna Abhyam Bhuri Vishruvam. Sometimes our own, you know, the teaching sounds sometimes insipid, tasteless, sometimes I feel bored, sometimes I feel I lose interest in listening, you know, that's why all are pratibandhas, obstacles. So may I be free from all the obstacles, so that may I be able to listen to subject matter of the Shastram as much as possible. Karna Abhyam Bhuri Vishruvam. Abhyam Bhuri Vishruvam. Brahmana Koshose. Brahmana Koshose. Is Brahmanaha Koshaha Asi. Asi means A-R-E, R. Art, thou art. O Lord, ni irikirai. O Lord, you are. What are you now? Koshaha asi. Koshaha means you are the cover of Brahman. You are the sheet, you are the container of Brahman. You are the possessor of Brahman. Brahman means the reality. You are the possessor of the reality. You're addressing the Omkaraha and you say, O Lord, you are covering, you are containing, you are possessing Brahman, the reality. You are the possessor of the reality. Here the doubt might come, how can Omkaraha be the container of the reality? Because reality is everything, isn't it? Reality is the container of everything. Reality is the existence of everything. So how can the reality, the existence of everything, be possessed or contained in, covered by Omkara? What does it mean here? Brahman remains hidden in Omkaraha. Is it clear now? Omkaraha Koshaha. See, Koshaha means any case or any sheet can cover something, isn't it? Like Omkaraha also, just as a knife remains hidden in the knife, then the case, or a sword remains hidden in the case, or a box, or a pin, isn't it? Any box, suppose you keep a jewel inside the box, what happens now? Jewel is hidden. Not only box contains the jewel, box also what? Hides the jewel. The jewel becomes hidden. The ornament becomes hidden in the box. Similarly here, when it is, oh Lord, in the form of Omkaraha, you are the case wherein Brahman, the reality, remains hidden. Brahmanaha Koshaha Asi. Like Abharanasya Koshaha Asti. A bag is the koshaha, no, container wherein the ornament remains hidden. Similarly, Omkara also is what? The koshaha, the case, the sheath wherein Brahman remains hidden. That means what? Not a container or anything, actually speaking. The reality, if we inquire into the meaning of Omkaraha, you can understand the Swarupam of Brahman, the Atma, the Self. Enquiry into the meaning of the word, meaning of this monosyllabic sound Omkaraha, will result in the knowledge of Brahman, the reality. That enquiry, when are you going to do? I told you already, when we do Mandukya Upanishad. So, in fact, even Bhagavad Gita, you must have come across, Omkaraha can be taken for Upasanam, meditation. Omkaraha can be taken for Nididhyasanam also. You know that Omkara, the Pranavaha, can be used as a symbol to meditate upon Ishvara, the whole, it can be directly taken for Nididhyasanam also. That means the enquiry into the meaning of the Omkara will reveal or will result in the Surupa Jnanam, having the vision of the reality, Brahman. Therefore, here the student says, Brahmanaha Koshaha Asi, O Lord, in the form of Omkara, you are the case wherein Brahman remains hidden. The true nature of the reality remains hidden. Is it clear now? Brahmana Koshosi, Brahmana Koshosi. The next sentence. Medhaya Pihitaha. Now he says, my intellect, O Lord. Next, you have to come to the next sentence now. Medhaya Pihitaha. My intellect is, my mind is, Pihitaha means covered. Covered. You are the sheath wherein the Swarupam of Brahman remains hidden, and where my mind is what now? My intellect is covered by Medha. Please understand, here the word Medha means only in this line. Medha means worldly knowledge. Desire for worldly knowledge makes the mind extroverted. Desire for external things makes my mind extroverted. Why attention goes to, now we are all sitting here, suddenly our attention is not here in listening, attention goes to something else. For example, iPad, latest iPad. I'm thinking, okay, I've got an iPad, and all of you should know I've got an iPad if I'm talking. And then Rajniji came and told, "Yo, you see, this is the late, no, the latest one has come." I was a little upset. See, I thought I was the one who got the best one. Now the next one has come. Mine has been now become the second one. Now latest one, which I, you know, has come now. So I thought, that must be the latest one. There's no more. Now this mind has gone what now? iPad, from listening, from teaching. Why it has gone to iPad? It's called extrovertedness, okay? The mind being extrovert. See, mind, attention is not available for listening to the Shastram. Attention is not available for what now? You know, focusing on object matter of the Shastram. It is natural. Why it is available? Because it has gone somewhere else. Why? Because of my interest in iPad. I'm not saying it's wrong to have interest in other things. But how interest in other things makes the mind extroverted. So mind being extroverted because of the interests and desires, you know, in worldly knowledge also, the worldly objects also, isn't it? Makes the mind what? Makes the intellect what now? This knowledge. The knowledge becomes here covered. The knowledge is already here. The knowledge which is already here, now the Swarupam of the Atma, Brahman, is already in the mind. This is covered. What is covered in my mind here? Swarupam of Brahman is covered in my mind. Atma Swarupam is there or not? Swarupam is there, it doesn't shine. Brahman is there very much in the mind, isn't it? Everywhere it is there, because nowhere it is not there. If it is there in the mind, it should shine. Why it is not shining? Like light is there shining for your eyes, for the buddhi, the Swarupam of Brahman must shine. Why it is not shining? Not because it is not there. Brahma Swarupam is very much there as the very self, but it is covered. Is it clear now? It is just as darkness covers the opaque object. See, just as darkness covers the opaque object in a dark place, it prevents the, is it clear now? It prevents the object from shining. Similarly, Atma Swarupam is in the mind, Buddhi, all the time it's shining. All the time it is there, but it is covered by what now? It is covered by extrovertedness. Is it clear now? The Medha implies extrovertedness. Extrovertedness is due to what? Due to the interest or, you know, desire for worldly knowledge. Is it knowledge of anything other than Brahman? Isn't it? See, knowledge being given to the study of other things, knowing other things is not wrong. But once you become committed to the pursuit of knowledge, naturally you must have, you must be more focused here. But you are not able to be more focused here because of other interests. That's all. So, Omkaraha, O Lord in the form of Omkaraha, you are the Koshaha, you are the sheath wherein the Brahman, the reality, remains hidden. That Brahman in my mind also is hidden by what? My extrovertedness, because of my interest, my desire for other external things. Is it clear now? It's not like he says ignorance. Ignorance can be dispelled easily. The attention is available. Attention is not available here. Isn't it? Attention for the removal of ignorance is not available. Why? Because mind is extroverted. Why is extroverted? Because of interest and desires for other things. Interest in other things, desire for other things, worldly knowledge. Here Medha means worldly knowledge, you know, which implies the extrovertedness. Therefore, Brahman is what? Hidden here. Is it clear now? Where he says, Brahmana koshosi, Brahmana koshosi, Medhaya pihitaha, Medhaya pihitaha, Shrutam me gopaya, Shrutam me gopaya. So, Shrutam me gopaya. Shrutam means whatever is being heard, whatever has been being heard, whatever has been heard by me, the subject matter of the Shastram, may all that I have heard be for my protection. Gopaya means for protection. May Gopaya, O Lord, whatever I have heard, whatever I have understood, may that be for my protection. May contribute for my protection. What, which protection? Absolute protection in the form of discovery of moksha, absolute protection in the form of self-knowledge, and also in the form of relative protection of sharpness of intellect, mental purity and mental steadiness, good physical health. See, protection, gopanam means protection. Gopaya means for protection. What is protection? If you are blessed with a good physical health, it is relative protection. May I be protected relatively in terms of good physical health. May I be blessed with what now? Discipline in terms of speech. So may I be the person of sweet, tongue. It means what? May my words be anudvegakaram, satyam, hitam, priyam. Isn't it? Therefore, may I be protected relatively. That's also what now? Protection of one's speech. May O Lord, please protect me in terms of speech. It's also relative protection. O Lord, please protect my mind. May I be balanced mind. Is it clear now? May I be blessed with balanced mind. May I not be elated and dejected, unleveled person. May I be a balanced person. That may I be blessed with what? Balanced mind also. is the protection of the mind. May my intellect be sharp. May I be blessed with good power of intellection. May I be blessed with grahana dharana shakti. This is a protection of intellect. So, protection of the physical body, protection of speech, protection of mind, protection of intellect. Of course, mind and intellect are one and the same. Intellect, which implies relative protection. And may I be protected, may I be blessed with absolute protection. What? May I be blessed with self-knowledge, which is absolute protection. May I be blessed with the discovery of moksha, which is already there, which is absolute protection. Wherein I will be utterly fearless, absolutely fearless. Is it clear now? Such a wonderful prayer. Shrutam me gopaya, shrutam me gopaya. May all that I have heard contribute for my protection, relative in relative sense and absolute sense. Gopaya, kettadellam nanmai nanmaikaga agattum. Enna nanmai? Everything. He asked for everything. That's why this mantra. Now, yes, chandasam onwards. Shrutam me gopaya. Till there, this is one mantra which consists of prayer for physical, speech, mental, intellectual protection. And this is a mantra prayer for self-knowledge, prayer for moksha. Is it clear now? What have you missed here? Tell me. What have you missed here? It's a complete prayer. This prayer, this mantra consisting of this beautiful prayer is for japaha. So it becomes what now? Now, here, after having discussed about upasanam, in this context, Upanishad presents what now? Japaha, which is a vachikam karma, which is a japaha is what? Another discipline. So, doing the parayanam of this mantra is what? A discipline. But here, you don't mechanically do something, you will repeatedly pray. So, if you know, if you want all these things, you don't need to do anything else. Every day, get up in the morning, do it 9 times, 18 times, 27 times, if you have time, 54 times, or 108 times. If you have time, if you're very conscious, I want it, then do 1008 times, no problem. At least in the whole year, if you make it a point to do at least at once, imagine how good this prayer is. You ask for everything. Shariram me vicharshanam, shariram me vicharshanam, jihva me madhumattama, jihva me madhumattama, karna abhyambhuri vishruvam, karna abhyambhuri vishruvam, brahmana koshosi, medhaya pihitaha, shrutam me gopaya, shrutam me gopaya. Now, keep on saying this mantra. Yes, chandasam till gopaya. It's a mantra consisting of prayer for protection in relative and absolute sense, which is meant for japaha, repetition. Like how you say, Om Namah Shivaya. That's a different thing, isn't it? That mantra is for mainly for nididhyasanam. Also for upasanam. But this mantra is mainly for what? Just repetitions for prayer. Repeatedly you can chant it as a prayer. If you are very desperate about what you are praying for, then you will pray. I don't need to tell you. Isn't it? We know how to pray for things. Is it clear? It's a good thing. Then, the second mantra. Very interesting mantra. We'll all be alert now. Become alert. You know why? These are mantras wherein you pray for wealth. You have finished praying for knowledge. Now you are praying for what? Wealth. Why wealth is important for a student, you'll ask. I tell you one thing, a brahmachari, as a student, especially when you're young, when you're in a school or college, as a student, you are not supposed to handle money. That is, we're supposed to touch money. Touch means what? Touch means, I'm not saying not touch money. The desire for earning money, making money, should not be kindled at a very young age. Very young age. And parents alone should do everything for the child also. Of course, there is such a parents cannot do, the guru should do. The guru cannot do, the society should do. What I'm saying, because the mind should not be distracted from studies. But as a student, he knows the value of money and he prays for money. While later on, when he becomes a teacher, once you gain the jnana, you also impart this knowledge to other people. And to impart other people, it is not right on the part of the teacher to expect a dakshina. Satyam. It is not right on the part of the teacher to expect the dakshina, to wait for dakshina, and to decide not to teach if they don't pay fees. Gee, that is not then Vedic culture. The knowledge, the teacher's duty is to teach, that's all. But it is the student's duty to give dakshina. Duty means what? That means how much should I pay? There's no fear, there's no risk, there's no question. Whatever is possible on my part. Okay? The student is supposed to pay dakshina. And then the teacher doesn't see, oh, how much this person has given, how much this person has given. No. That sort of a thing is not there. So this teacher's duty is just to teach whoever comes to the class. Irrespective of whether they give dakshina, they don't give dakshina, how much they give, how much they don't give, no. She's supposed to teach. But the student, whatever is possible, the student can give also. This is the Vedic style of Gurukulam, you know, how that is run. So, if the student comes, the teacher, the student is, suppose the student happens to stay in a Gurukulam, a resident school, it is to teacher's responsibility to give students food. They stay in the Gurukulam, okay? Good food, take care of the food, take care of the shelter. Even in our Gurukulam, only in Swami Dayananda Saraswati's Gurukulam ashram, even today it is happening. Even today, even these days. Gurukulam means they don't pay, because people who have visited the Gurukulams, they know. The students know they don't need to pay any penny. The food is taken care of, shelter is, accommodation is taken, oh, very simple accommodation. Accommodation is taken care of, teaching is what, excellent teaching also is given. You know, that means the teacher needs money. Where will he go? The money is not there. How can he run the show without asking for anything from the students? Of course, some students will give some dakshina. But to take care of the whole, run the whole show, the money is needed. Therefore, O Lord, please bless me with abundance of wealth also, so that in future, when I happen to run the Gurukulam, I'm not praying, okay? I'm teaching more students. Why there is a mantra? In future, if I teach the students, they come to me, I should be able to welcome anybody who comes to me, that I can give the teaching without expecting anything in return. Just a student is coming for knowledge without anything empty-handed. Still, he should be taken care of. When with the jnanam he goes out, he will know how to live his life. Isn't it? That means the teacher should be blessed with lot of money, wealth. Therefore, the student, as a student, think of the future. He also asks for what? Money now itself. He prays for money, but he does not pay simply for money. Now he already has what? Medha. Isn't it? He knows. See, when he asks for knowledge, wisdom, he asks for knowledge, he would have prayed for knowledge, therefore he would have got what now? He knows he's 100% he's committed to live a life of dharma. Once you know the value of dharma, then you are blessed with any amount of money. You will know how to spend the money for which purpose. Then there's no problem. Oh, you are given 100 rupees, 100 pounds, 1000 pounds, million pounds. You will know how to spend it usefully, isn't it? You will know how to contribute it back to society. Isn't it? Richer you are, more you will contribute. Not to hoard, you won't be selfish, isn't it? Therefore, with the wisdom, with the commitment to dharma, the person committed to dharma should be blessed with lots and lots and lots and lots of wealth. Then it will be enjoyed by what? The whole society can enjoy. Not enjoying benefits, okay, getting benefits. That's what is happening here. That means it will go for the good causes. It will not be abused or misused also. Sometimes some charities collect money. They have, the intention is good. The purpose they want to send also is good. But actually speaking, money becomes misused. The name of charity. Sometimes. That is why, who should the money go to? The dharmavan purusham pratyeva gachet dhanam. Now money should go to the person who is highly righteous and ethical, who knows the value of dharma, who is committed to live a life of dharma. Then he will enjoy, and he will not enjoy everything, and he will equally distribute it to the well-being of the society. Appropriate causes also. Therefore here the student is asking for what now? Wealth. Next is prayer for wealth. What is wealth for? Not for the enjoyment of pleasures, not for the enjoyment, not for me to feel secure. Of course you need to feel secure. Of course you need to enjoy pleasures. You don't need to deprive yourself of pleasures. But money is for mokshaha, jnanam, antakarna shuddhihi, naishchalyam, perpetuation of dharma, for society to function in order. What are children for? Moksha, jnanam, you know, antakarna shuddhihi, antakarna naishchalyam, emotional maturity and well-being of society. See, whatever we pray for, ultimately for jnanam, moksha, antakarna shuddhihi, naishchalyam, for my peace and for the peace of the world. Isn't it clear now? There is no way of you are contributing for the peace of the world with yourself being peaceful. That's a beautiful, isn't it? When does the money come into the picture? So here the next mantra is for, if it is time, please remind me. I know it's time, but I still, I thought, let me do little and do, it's okay? So the next mantra is a mantra kinds of a prayer for prosperity. But it is not meant for japaha. This mantra, next mantra consisting of prayer for prosperity is to be used in performing a ritual. It's not for japaha, it's for homaha. So homa mantraha. The first mantra is japa mantraha. Next mantra is homa mantraha. Now we are going to have homa mantraha. Home mantras means mantras to be chanted for performing a ritual. So are we going to perform a ritual? No. So what are we going to do now? We are going to study, understand the meaning, understand the significance of these mantras, and we will leave it. Okay? Because we aren't going to perform the first mantra is good. We can do the japam. Second mantra, we cannot perform a ritual. But it's very popular. Even now we have get Vadyar and then we do the japam. We do this. This mantra is, even now this homa is performed. Because money, you see, people leave the first one and take to second one. Okay.
Avahanti vitanvana, avahanti vitanvana, kurvana chiramatmanaha, kurvana chiramatmanaha, vasagam simamaga vascha, vasagam simamaga vascha. Annapane cha sarvada, annapane cha sarvada, tato me shriyamavaha, tato me shriyamavaha. Lomasham, lomasham, pashubhissahaswaha, pashubhissahaswaha.
Okay. So with this, we'll hear the students starts performing the ritual, chanting this mantra, supposed to. No? How do you know? The word swaha comes. Swaha. Whenever the swaha comes, saying swaha, the student offers oblations into the fire. And what does he chant? Why is he doing the mantra? As he is doing the homa, he recites these mantras. And where is a prayer? Wherein there is a prayer. And tataha, you have to start from tataha to get the meaning. Tato me, is na? Tataha means thereafter. Tataha means what? You have to start the meaning from here. We'll go back again. This is how Shankara begins his teaching, okay? Tataha. Tataha means thereafter. Adarku piragu. Thereafter means what? Adarku piragu. After what? After having prayed for Medha. After having prayed for, you know, the capacity to retain and understand and retain subject matter of the Shastram. After having prayed for the knowledge of the Dharma Jnanam, Shastra Jnanam. After having prayed for intellect, good power of intellection and knowledge. Now only the student is praying for wealth. Tataha. Here, this is where Shankara gives a beautiful bhashyam for this one word, tataha. You know what he says? This, because wealth, why he is praying for wealth after praying for wisdom? Tataha, for thereafter, one word he says. Because wealth is like the edges, two edges of the knife. The knife can be used for cutting the vegetable. But knife can be used for stabbing also. I am giving this my own interpretation. Like it can lead one to, it can uplift one, it can also degrade one. Therefore here he says, therefore money should be handled very carefully. If the money has to be handled carefully means, one money should be handled only with one's commitment to live a life of values, and which is possible only if a person is blessed with the knowledge of dharma. One should know how important it is to live a life of dharma. One should know the value of values. Then one can commit oneself to live a life of values. Thereby one can make the best use of the money. One can handle money correctly, which will not lead one to disaster, but which will lead oneself, not the people around the person also, it will uplift. Therefore he says, tataha. Thereafter, having discussed about the, having prayed for wisdom, now this student is praying for wealth, prosperity. May shriyam avaha. O Lord, please bring wealth to me. Shrihi means wealth, prosperity. O Lord, please bring all forms of Lakshmi to me. Lakshmi is in many forms. Cattle form, money form, good health, isn't it? O Lord, please bring me Lakshmi in many forms. Prosperity in its entirety. Please bring me Lakshmi avaha, shriyam avaha. O Lord, please bring me wealth. Bring wealth to me. Nice prayer, isn't it? See, Shastram never says don't pursue money. It's foolish to say not to touch money, don't ask for money and all that. Don't aspire for money is wrong teaching. You can aspire for money, you can acquire money, you can use the money without abusing it, isn't it? At the same time, but money should not be the ultimate. Money should be a relative end to accomplish the ultimate end of jnanam, which serves a means. We should it's a subservient, isn't it? money should be earned, understanding money is a relative end which will help you to accomplish the ultimate end of jnanam. Money should not become the ultimate end. That's the problem. So he says, Shriyam me, Shriyam avaha. If you want more wealth, repeat it. Okay. Shriyam me avaha. Oh Lord, please bring lots of wealth, prosperity, abundance of prosperity to me. Shriyam avaha. Shriyam avaha. Selvatai tarviraha. Irivane, namukku selvatai kodupiraha. Me shriyam avaha. Kunduvarum. That's the meaning. And what sort of wealth he says? Avahanti. Avahanti. So, the wealth what now? Avahanti means what? The wealth which comes to me should be avahanti. Avahanti means which brings in all forms of comforts. Avahanti. All forms of comfort. Wealth which brings in all forms of comforts. The wealth which, you know, avahanti, which I do not have. Avahanti means the wealth which I do not have now, which is going to come to me, is called what? Avahanti wealth. Avahanti shrihi. The prosperity, the wealth which I do not have now, which I have to acquire. So avahanti stands for acquisition. Acquisition of wealth, what I don't have, may it come to me. When you say avahanti.
Avahanti.
The very homa is called avahanti homaha. The homa performed here is what now? Avahanti homaha, wherein one asks praise for wealth. Avahanti, avahanti. Then next, vitanvana, vitanvana. Vitanvana, but once I, so now let me have the acquisition, is it like, let me acquire what I do not have now. Vitanvana, no, then whatever I have acquired, you should not be sitting the same way, like money in the banks of England. You should expand, isn't it? What? No interest, nothing. What is this? Useless money. Isn't it? So, it should be like what? Expand. It is like money invest in Indian lands. Now, okay? Expand. What now? Vitanvana means what? Expansion. Vitanvana, what? Expand. No? It should expand. Whatever money I have, it should grow more. The wealth, oh Lord, may I acquire what I do not have, the wealth, and whatever I have acquired, may it grow also. The vitanvana, vitanvana means what now? Expanding wealth. Acquisition of wealth, then expansion of wealth also. Is it clear now? If I start one company, it should become 10 companies. Okay, if I employ 1,000 people, I should have 10,000 people working in my factories. It means what? It's all expansion, isn't it? Vitanvana. Then, Kurvana.
Kurvana.
Okay, I have acquired, I have expanded, and again bad time comes, like Dubai money, it goes off. No. Now people hardly, once they were doing very well, recession, money has gone. They're all suffering now. It should never go. Kurvana means what now? Kurvana means it should stay forever. Look at this. Where do you find this such a prayer? Kurvana means what now? Kurvana here means which remains forever. Isn't it? Avahanti, Vitanvana, Kurvana, Shrihi. The prosperity which is acquired, which is expanded, which remains forever is called Kurvana. And that money, chiramatmanaha, chiramatmanaha, sorry, kurvana, achiram, sorry, achiram. Chiram, kurvana, achiram, atmanaha. Achiram is the Vedic usage. Actual word is achiram. Chiram means after long time. Achiram means what? Very quickly. Don't make me wait for acquiring wealth for very long. I'll get very old. then I can't enjoy anything. So let me get the money also. What now? This money, which acquired money, expanded money, everlasting money, should be blessed with. How? Very quickly. Very quickly means what? Not in a wrong sense. No? Without any delays. There should not be any delay. Therefore, Kurvana Chiram Atma. Achiram means, O Lord, Atmanaha Shriyam. The money, this Avaganti Homa he is performing, saying, praying for what? O Lord, please bring wealth to me. And that wealth should be what? The wealth should be something which is acquisition of what I don't have. And whatever has been acquired, that should be what now? Expanding wealth, and that should be everlasting wealth. And that wealth should come to me very soon, without any delay, without any postponement. You want money? Say this. No? Avahanti vitanvana kurvana chiram atmanaha. Avahanti vitanvana kurvana chiram atmanaha. This you can say. This also you can do, even though you don't perform a ritual, you can say it, no problem. Learn correctly pronunciation and chant it, you would get it. Don't make mistakes, okay? Avahanti vitanvana, avahanti vitanvana, kurvana chiram atmanaha, kurvana chiram atmanaha. So, atmanaha means for me, okay? For me, no, may Lakshmi Devi bring the wealth. Okay, you understand me now? The word avahanti shrihi, coming, the money which is coming to me is avahanti. The money which is expanded is what? Vitanvana, which stands for expansion. And kurvana, which is everlasting money. Ayyadu selvam, neengadu selvam nirendu. No, we say that. Then, not only that, now he says, Vasagam simamaga vascha, Vasagam simamaga vascha, Vasamsi, may I have good clothing. Vasamsi, nalla aadigal, may have good clothing, nice dresses, you know. Why should we wear torn, dirty, unclean clothes? Vahena Vasamsi. Because all, now first for the mind to be clear, very important for one to be clean externally also, isn't it? Vasagamsi, Vasagamsi. See, when you are blessed with all these things, you do not know the value of it. When you don't have it, you have to pray for it, you know the value of it. Vasagamsi, Vasagamsi. Mama, mama. Mama means for me. Gavascha. Gavaha again means what? Cows. Go means cow, one cow. Gavaha means many cows. So may I be blessed with abundance of cattle wealth. May be blessed with good dresses, no, better clothing, nice clothing. Then, annapane cha sarvada. Annapane cha sarvada. Annam cha panam cha. Anna means good food and good drinks. See, if there's no water, what can we do? Don't think, we should not be asking for water. Ask people in Japan. They will tell you all over, no? Then they will know there is water all over, floods everywhere, but there's no water to drink. You know the worst use of having that water. All over ditches running, but there's no water to drink. Therefore, panam means when we don't have water, you will know what it is. Therefore, the prayer is very up. That's why even though you are already blessed with water, please say this prayer so that what? We are very, very thankful to Bhagavan to have blessed us with the food that we are eating and the water we are drinking. Annapane cha sarvada. Annapane cha sarvada. O Lord, please bless me with good food, good, healthy, nutritious food. which contributes for good physical health and emotional well-being. Panam, also the water.
Anna pane cha sarvada, anna pane cha sarvada. Tato me shriyamavaha, tato me shriyamavaha.
Actually, we had to begin from here for the meaning. Tato me shriyamavaha. O Lord, please bring wealth to me. And how the wealth should be? It should be acquisition of what I don't have. And whatever I have acquired should be expansion of whatever I have acquired. And whatever I acquired and expanded should be everlasting. And not only that, may be blessed with good clothes, and then also abundance of cattle wealth also, and food and water. Then he says,
Lomasham, Lomasham, Pashubhis Sahaswaha, Pashubhis Sahaswaha.
Now he says, Lomasham Pashubhi Saha. The swaha means what he says. Saying swaha, he offers oblations into the
lomasham pashubisaha swaha.
It means he says, saying this mantra, he offers the oblation into the fire. So lomasham pashubihi saha. Pashu here again means what here? Sheep especially. Lomashaha means romashaha, the woolly animal. Okay? Don't give me only cows and goats. Also, please bless me with some what? No? The woolly animal. Why? The person who did the prayer must have been living in England or in Kashmir or in Himalayas. Suppose if we are living in Coimbatore and Chennai and Bombay, Delhi. Not in Delhi. But Delhi also have to ask. In winter, they have to ask for both. Now, living in Madras and Coimbatore, our places, I don't think we would have prayed for it. We never asked for wool. Okay? Even Sri Lanka, I don't think Yalpama don't need wool. People who know, maybe suppose if they're living in this country, suppose now the cold weather, 8 months a year, very, very cold. And you need now you need woolly garments also, woolen garments. That is why you ask for sheep, etc. Very thoughtful prayers. Even if you don't need, doesn't matter. There is a need for something, isn't it? We need here. I mean, saying,
Lomasham, Lomasham, Pashubhis Sahaswaha, Pashubhis Sahaswaha.
Okay, with this, the prayer for wealth is over. Next is the prayer for students. May I have now students coming to me. As a student, before even becoming the teacher, one is praying for the future students. First asked for jnanam, then he asked for wealth, now he is asking for what? Students. He is going to pray for the students. Oh Lord, may I have more and more students coming to me. So what? The more I can share my knowledge, the more I can become free from Rishi Runam. Now what is Rishi Runam? As we are studying the Shastram, we become indebted to the Rishis. Therefore, we have to pay back the debts to Rishis because Guru Parampara. Therefore, how are you going to do? By sharing this knowledge. Immediately, he must be getting fear. Oh my God, I can't share this knowledge. I don't want to teach. If you can't teach, you can support the institutions involved in, involved in sharing this knowledge to the students. Some way of contribution for support of the main cause of this teaching. Therefore, that comes the next prayer, which we'll see next class.